Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a historical review of Haiti, a journey through time. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 9, The Struggles of Sovereignty, The Weight of Freedom. By the mid-19th century, Haiti had firmly established itself as a free and independent nation. Yet the challenges of sovereignty weighed heavily on the young republic. While Haiti stood as a beacon of freedom and resistance, its independence came at a steep price, both literally and metaphorically. Economic isolation, internal divisions, and foreign interference made the task of governance and nation-building an uphill battle. The dream of liberty achieved through revolution was not accompanied by the resources or stability necessary to create a thriving nation. Instead, Haiti faced a precarious existence, navigating a world that viewed its success as a threat. Economic isolation and the burden of debt. One of the most significant obstacles to Haiti's prosperity was its economic isolation. The United States and European powers, fearful of the example Haiti set for enslaved populations, refused to engage in trade or diplomatic relations. France's imposition of a reparations debt in 1825, 150 million francs, later reduced to 90 million, further crippled Haiti's economy. The debt was framed as compensation for the loss of French slaveholders' property, including the enslaved people who had fought for and won their freedom. To pay this exorbitant sum, Haiti was forced to borrow money from French banks at high interest rates, plunging the nation into a cycle of debt that would last for over a century. Resources that could have been invested in infrastructure, education, and economic development were diverted to service this debt. The burden of reparations deepened inequality and left Haiti vulnerable to exploitation. Political instability. Haiti's political landscape was marked by frequent changes in leadership, often through coups and uprisings. The assassination of Emperor Jean-Jacques Dessalines in 1806 set a precedent for political violence that would persist for decades. Leaders struggled to unify a society fractured by social, racial, and economic divisions. The divide between the rural black majority and the urban mixed-race elite, mulattoes, continued to fuel tensions. While the rural population sought land reform and greater representation, the elite clung to power, perpetuating systems of inequality that mirrored the colonial era. These divisions undermined efforts to create a cohesive national identity and stable governance. Haiti's occupation of the Dominican Republic. In 1822, under the leadership of President Jean-Pierre Boyer, Haiti unified the island of Hispaniola by annexing the eastern territory, which had been under Spanish control. Boyer sought to create a single, unified state and to abolish slavery in the east. However, the annexation was met with resistance from the Dominican population, who resented Haitian rule and its heavy-handed policies. The unification lasted for 22 years, during which Haiti struggled to maintain control over the eastern territory. In 1844, the Dominican Republic declared its independence, ending the Haitian occupation and creating a lasting divide between the two nations. The struggle for international recognition. Haiti's quest for international recognition was fraught with challenges. While it achieved independence in 1804, most nations refused to acknowledge Haiti's sovereignty for decades. The United States, deeply entrenched in slavery, did not formally recognize Haiti until 1862, during the American Civil War. France's recognition came at the cost of the reparations debt, and other European powers largely ignored Haiti, unwilling to legitimize a black republic that threatened the colonial order. Despite these setbacks, Haiti maintained its defiance, forging relationships with abolitionists, revolutionary leaders, and marginalized groups around the world. The rural-urban divide. Haiti's rural-urban divide became increasingly pronounced in the 19th century. The rural population, consisting mainly of subsistence farmers, lived in relative isolation from the political and economic centers of power. They preserved elements of African culture, including Vodou and communal land practices, and resisted attempts by the urban elite to impose European-style governance and economic systems. The urban elite, concentrated in cities like Port-au-Prince, embraced Western ideals and sought to align Haiti with European norms. This cultural and economic divide further fragmented Haitian society, making it difficult to implement national policies that addressed the needs of all citizens. The spirit of resilience. Despite these challenges, Haiti remained resilient. Its people continued to cultivate the land, celebrate their culture, and resist foreign domination. The revolutionary spirit that had driven the fight for independence persisted, manifesting in acts of defiance against inequality and oppression. Haiti's role in global liberation movements. Haiti's commitment to freedom extended beyond its borders. The nation provided refuge and support to enslaved and oppressed people from around the world. It served as a sanctuary for African Americans fleeing slavery in the United States and offered aid to revolutionary leaders in Latin America. This spirit of solidarity reinforced Haiti's identity as a nation born of resistance and dedicated to the pursuit of liberty for all. While the world sought to isolate Haiti, the nation's actions demonstrated its unwavering commitment to the ideals of freedom and justice. The cost of independence. As the chapter concludes, Haiti's struggles for sovereignty highlight the complexity of liberation. Independence was not the end of the journey, but the beginning of a new battle, one fought against economic exploitation, political instability, and international isolation. The final image is of a Haitian farmer in a sunlit field, planting crops with calloused hands. Behind him, the towering mountains stand as silent witnesses to his perseverance. Though burdened by debt and hardship, he labors with hope, carrying the legacy of the revolution in his heart. Chapter 10, The U.S. Occupation, 1915 to 1934. A nation on the brink. By the early 20th century, Haiti faced mounting challenges. Decades of political instability, economic hardship, and international isolation had weakened the nation. The burden of reparations to France, coupled with the lack of infrastructure and foreign investment, left Haiti vulnerable to external interference. The assassination of President Jean Vilbrun Guillaume Sam in July 1915, during a period of intense political turmoil, served as the catalyst for the United States to intervene. Claiming to restore order and protect American interests, the United States initiated a military occupation of Haiti in 1915. What followed was a 19-year period that reshaped Haiti's political, economic, and social landscape, often at the expense of Haitian sovereignty. The motives behind the occupation. The U.S. intervention in Haiti was driven by a combination of strategic, economic, and racial motives. Strategically, the United States sought to secure its influence in the Caribbean and prevent European powers, particularly Germany, from establishing a foothold in the region. Economically, American corporations had investments in Haitian agriculture, particularly in sugar and rubber, and sought to protect their interests. Underlying these motives was a racial ideology that viewed Haiti, a black republic, as incapable of self-governance. American policymakers and military leaders often framed the occupation as a civilizing mission, echoing the paternalistic rhetoric of colonial powers. Military rule and suppression. Upon their arrival, U.S. Marines quickly established control over Haiti's government and economy. The Haitian Constitution was rewritten in 1918 under heavy U.S. influence to allow foreign land ownership, a provision fiercely opposed by Haitians. American officials assumed control of customs revenue, infrastructure projects, and the national treasury, effectively sidelining Haitian leaders. The U.S. military also reintroduced a system of forced labor, known as the corvée, to build roads and infrastructure. This system, reminiscent of the labor practices during slavery, sparked widespread resentment among the Haitian population. Rural Haitians, particularly those in the north, organized resistance movements, the most notable of which was the CACOs Rebellion. The CACOs were a group of rural guerrilla fighters who had historically resisted foreign and domestic oppression. Under the leadership of Charlemagne Perrault, the CACOs waged a fierce resistance against the U.S. occupation. Perrault became a symbol of Haitian defiance, rallying his followers with the cry for sovereignty and dignity. The rebellion, however, was brutally suppressed by the U.S. military, which employed superior weaponry and tactics. Perrault was captured and killed in 1919, his body publicly displayed as a warning to others. Despite its failure, the rebellion highlighted the Haitian people's determination to resist foreign domination. Infrastructure and exploitation. During the occupation, the United States undertook several infrastructure projects, including the construction of roads, bridges, and schools. While these developments were touted as modernizing efforts, they primarily served American economic interests and facilitated the extraction of resources. The corvée system, along with low wages and poor working conditions, left many Haitians impoverished and resentful. The U.S. also implemented reforms in the education system, introducing English language curricula and American teaching methods. These changes were met with mixed reactions, as they often undermined Haiti's cultural and linguistic heritage. Cultural resistance and identity. Despite the occupation's attempts to reshape Haiti's institutions, the Haitian people resisted cultural assimilation. Vodou, a cornerstone of Haitian identity, became a powerful symbol of resistance against American influence. Haitian writers, artists, and intellectuals also used their work to critique the occupation and celebrate their nation's history and culture. Figures like Jacques Remain, a prominent writer and activist, emerged during this period, advocating for Haitian sovereignty and social justice. His works, along with others in the burgeoning Haitian literary movement, reinforced a sense of national pride and resilience. The end of the occupation. By the early 1930s, the U.S. occupation faced increasing criticism both in Haiti and abroad. The global economic depression, coupled with growing resistance to imperialism, weakened American resolve to maintain control. In 1934, under President Franklin D. Roosevelt's Good Neighbor Policy, the United States withdrew its troops, formally ending the occupation. While the withdrawal marked a victory for Haitian sovereignty, the occupation left lasting scars. The economic exploitation, cultural disruption, and political centralization during this period deepened inequalities and sowed the seeds for future instability. The legacy of the occupation. The U.S. occupation of Haiti is remembered as a dark chapter in the nation's history, a period of foreign domination that exacerbated the struggles of an already fragile state. Yet, it also underscored the resilience of the Haitian people, who resisted with courage and creativity despite overwhelming odds. As the chapter concludes, the image of Charlemagne Perrault, arms outstretched in defiance, lingers as a testament to Haiti's unyielding fight for freedom. The struggles of sovereignty continue, but the spirit of resistance remains unbroken. Chapter 11, The Rise and Fall of the Duvalier Dynasty, A Nation in Transition. Following the withdrawal of U.S. forces in 1934, Haiti entered a turbulent period marked by political instability, economic challenges, and social unrest. The fragile republic saw frequent changes in leadership, with each administration struggling to address the deep-seated inequalities and systemic issues that plagued the nation. By the mid-20th century, Haiti was ripe for the emergence of a leader who promised stability and national pride, though at a devastating cost. In 1957, François Duvalier, a doctor and public health official known as Papa Doc, rose to power. What began as a populist movement quickly devolved into one of the most oppressive regimes in Haitian history. The Duvalier dynasty, which lasted nearly three decades, would leave an indelible mark on Haiti, shaping its politics, culture, and international relations. François Papa Doc Duvalier, the architect of fear. François Duvalier came to power on a platform of black nationalism and anti-elitism, appealing to the rural majority who had long been marginalized by the urban elite. His charisma, medical background, and promises of social reform earned him widespread support, particularly among the black middle and lower classes. Once in office, however, Duvalier quickly consolidated power, using a combination of political cunning and ruthless tactics to eliminate opposition. He declared himself president for life in 1964, transforming Haiti into a dictatorship. Central to his regime was the creation of the Tonton Macoute, a paramilitary force that operated with impunity, terrorizing the population and silencing dissent. The role of Vodou and cult of personality. Duvalier skillfully exploited Haiti's deep cultural ties to Vodou, presenting himself as a mystical figure with supernatural powers. He cultivated a cult of personality, often likening himself to the Vodou deity Baron Samedi, the Loa of the Dead. This association, combined with his calculated use of propaganda, created an aura of fear and reverence that bolstered his control. Through a blend of traditional spiritual practices and political maneuvering, Duvalier positioned himself as the embodiment of Haitian identity and sovereignty. His regime became synonymous with both national pride and unrelenting oppression. Economic exploitation and corruption. Under Duvalier's rule, Haiti's economy deteriorated. Corruption was rampant, with government officials enriching themselves while the majority of the population lived in poverty. Foreign aid, which flowed into Haiti during the Cold War as part of U.S. efforts to counter communism, often ended up in the pockets of Duvalier and his allies. Haiti's infrastructure crumbled, and basic services like healthcare and education became inaccessible to many. The rural majority, who had supported Duvalier's rise to power, found themselves increasingly marginalized as the regime prioritized maintaining control over improving living conditions. The succession of Baby Doc. When François Duvalier died in 1971, his 19-year-old son, Jean-Claude Duvalier, known as Baby Doc, assumed power. Unlike his father, Jean-Claude lacked the charisma and political acumen that had defined Papa Doc's rule. While he maintained many of the same oppressive policies, his regime was characterized by an even greater focus on personal enrichment and extravagance. Baby Doc's marriage to Michelle Bennett, a woman from Haiti's light-skinned elite, further alienated him from the rural population. The lavish wedding, held in 1980, symbolized the regime's disconnect from the struggles of ordinary Haitians and marked the beginning of widespread disillusionment with Duvalier's rule. Growing opposition and the fall of the dynasty. By the 1980s, Haiti was on the brink of collapse. The economy, already weakened by corruption and mismanagement, suffered further due to declining agricultural exports and rising unemployment. The regime's human rights abuses and embezzlement of foreign aid drew international condemnation, while grassroots movements within Haiti began to challenge the Duvalier government. The Catholic Church played a pivotal role in mobilizing resistance, with priests advocating for social justice and empowering communities to demand change. By 1986, mass protests and uprisings erupted across the country, fueled by widespread poverty, repression, and the regime's blatant disregard for its people. On February 7, 1986, Jean-Claude Duvalier fled Haiti with his family, ending nearly 30 years of Duvalierist rule. He sought exile in France, leaving behind a nation scarred by decades of dictatorship. The aftermath of the Duvalier era. The fall of the Duvalier dynasty marked a turning point in Haitian history. The departure of Baby Doc was met with celebrations, but the legacy of the regime lingered. The Tonton Macoute's influence persisted, and the political and economic structures that had supported the dictatorship remained largely intact. Haiti faced the daunting task of rebuilding its institutions, addressing systemic corruption, and healing from decades of fear and violence. While the end of the Duvalier era offered hope for a more democratic and equitable future, the road ahead was fraught with challenges. The legacy of the Duvalier. The Duvalier dynasty left a complex and controversial legacy. For many Haitians, it represents a period of intense suffering and repression. Yet, it also reflects the resilience of a nation that has continually fought against oppression. As the chapter concludes, the image of a crumbling palace, once a symbol of the Duvalier power, serves as a poignant metaphor for the fragility of tyranny. The people of Haiti, though scarred, remain steadfast in their pursuit of freedom and justice, carrying the lessons of the past into the uncertain future. Chapter 12, The Struggle for Democracy. A Fragile New Dawn. The fall of Jean-Claude's Baby Doc Duvalier in 1986 marked the end of a nearly 30-year dictatorship and ignited a wave of hope for a brighter, more democratic future in Haiti. However, the path forward proved to be fraught with challenges. Decades of corruption, violence, and systemic inequality had left Haiti's institutions hollowed and its people deeply divided. The years following the Duvalier dynasty were marked by political instability, social unrest, and external interference. Yet, amid the chaos, the Haitian people displayed remarkable resilience, continuing to fight for the ideals of liberty, justice, and democracy. The rise of Jean-Bertrand Aristide. In the late 1980s, Haiti experienced a surge of grassroots activism. Central to this movement was Jean-Bertrand Aristide, a former priest whose fiery sermons and calls for social justice resonated with the nation's poor and disenfranchised. Aristide's advocacy for the Ti Maun, the little people, made him a symbol of hope for those who had been marginalized under the Duvalier regime. In 1990, Aristide ran for president in Haiti's first democratic election. His campaign, centered on ending corruption, empowering the poor, and reclaiming Haiti's sovereignty, galvanized the population. Against all odds, Aristide won a landslide victory, becoming Haiti's first democratically elected president. The coup and return. Aristide's presidency, however, was short-lived. In September 1991, just 8 months after taking office, he was ousted in a military coup orchestrated by elements of the Haitian elite and supported by powerful foreign interests wary of his progressive policies. The coup plunged Haiti into a period of brutal repression, with thousands of Aristide supporters killed or displaced. International pressure and grassroots activism eventually led to Aristide's return in 1994, supported by the United States and a United Nations peacekeeping mission. However, his reinstatement came with conditions, including economic reforms that aligned with neoliberal policies. These reforms often clashed with Aristide's vision for social justice and further complicated his ability to govern effectively. The role of the international community. Throughout Haiti's struggle for democracy, the international community played a significant yet controversial role. While organizations like the United Nations and the Organization of American States advocated for human rights and supported elections, foreign powers, particularly the United States, often prioritized their strategic and economic interests over Haiti's sovereignty. Foreign aid became a double-edged sword, providing much-needed resources while fostering dependency and undermining local governance. The influx of NGOs into Haiti further fragmented the nation's development efforts, creating parallel systems that often bypassed the Haitian government and disempowered local communities. The cycle of instability. Aristide's return to power did not bring the stability many had hoped for. His presidency was marred by allegations of corruption, political violence, and deepening divisions within Haitian society. After serving his term, Aristide returned to office in 2001 following another electoral victory. But his second presidency faced significant opposition from both domestic elites and foreign governments. In 2004, Aristide was once again ousted, this time under controversial circumstances that many described as a soft coup supported by foreign powers. His removal sparked widespread protests and further destabilized the nation. Grassroots movements and popular resistance. Despite the political turmoil, Haiti's grassroots movements continued to fight for democracy and social justice. Community organizations, labor unions, and activists worked tirelessly to address issues such as poverty, education, and healthcare. These movements often operated in the face of significant obstacles, including limited resources and the threat of violence. The Catholic Church's Ti Leglis, Little Church, movement, which had emerged during the Duvalier era, remained a powerful force for social change. Through education, advocacy, and spiritual guidance, the movement empowered marginalized communities to demand accountability from their leaders. A persistent struggle. The early 21st century saw Haiti grappling with the legacies of dictatorship, foreign interference, and economic inequality. The nation's democratic institutions, while fragile, represented a hard-fought achievement that the Haitian people refused to abandon. Elections, though often flawed, provided a platform for citizens to voice their aspirations and hold leaders accountable. The struggle for democracy in Haiti is a testament to the resilience and determination of its people. Despite the challenges, Haitians have consistently fought for a government that reflects their values and serves their needs. The road ahead. As the chapter concludes, Haiti stands at a crossroads. The scars of the past remain, but so does the unyielding spirit of its people. The fight for democracy is far from over, but it is a fight that Haitians have proven they are willing to wage, no matter the odds. The final image is of a crowded polling station on election day, with voters standing patiently in line under the scorching sun. Among them is an elderly woman clutching her voter ID card, a symbol of her enduring hope for a better future. Her eyes, weary but determined, reflect the resilience of a nation that refuses to give up.